Hello, everyone. This is Bill Vondahar with another edition of Moments in History. Today we have an article out of the Wikipedia, which is otherwise known as the Free Encyclopedia of the Internet, about the outlaws of the Old West. And today we're going to feature about Billy the Kid. Billy the Kid, born Henry McCarty, September 17th or November 23rd, 1859, through July 14th, 1881, also known as William Bonney, was an American Old West outlaw and gunfighter who killed 8 men before he was shot and killed at the age of 21. He took part in New Mexico's Lincoln County War, during which he allegedly committed 3 murders. Early life. Henry McCarty was born to Catherine McCarty in New York City. While his birth year has been confirmed to be 1859, the exact date of his birth has been disputed as either September 17 or November 23rd of that year. A letter from an official of St. Peter's Church in Manhattan states that it is in possession of records showing that McCarty was baptized in that church on September 28, 1859. Census records indicate his younger brother Joseph McCarty was born in 1863. Following the death of her husband, Patrick, Catherine McCarty and her sons moved to Indianapolis, Indiana, where she met William Henry Harrison Antrim. The McCarty family moved with Antrim to Wichita, Kansas in 1870. After moving again a few years later, Catherine married Antrim on March 1, 1873, at the First Presbyterian Church in Santa Fe, New Mexico Territory. McCarty and his brother Joseph were witnesses to the ceremony. Shortly afterward, the family moved from Santa Fe to Silver City, New Mexico, and Joseph McCarty began using the name Joseph Antrim. Catherine McCarty died of tuberculosis on September 16, 1874. McCarty was about 14 years old when his mother died. Sarah Brown, the owner of a boarding house, gave him room and board in exchange for work. On September 16, 1875, McCarty was caught stealing food. 10 days later, McCarty and George Schaefer robbed a Chinese laundry, stealing clothing and 2 pistols. McCarty was charged with theft and was jailed. He escaped 2 days later and became a fugitive, as reported in the Silver City Herald the next day, the first story published about him. McCarty located his stepfather and stayed with him until Antrim threw him out. McCarty stole clothing and guns from him. It was the last time the two saw each other. After leaving Antrim, McCarty traveled to southeastern Arizona Territory, where he worked as a ranch hand and gambled his wages in nearby gaming houses. In 1876, he was hired as a ranch hand by well-known rancher Henry Hooker. During this time, McCarty became acquainted with John Mackey, a Scottish-born criminal and former U.S. Cavalry private who, following his discharge, remained near the U.S. Army post at Camp Grant. The two men soon began stealing horses from local soldiers. McCarty became known as Kid Antrim because of his youth, slight build, clean-shaven appearance, and his personality. On August 17, 1877, McCarty was at a saloon in the village of Bonita when he got into an argument with Francis Windy Cahill, who was a blacksmith who reportedly had bullied McCarty on more than one occasion, and called McCarty a pimp. McCarty, in turn, called Cahill a son of a bitch, whereupon Cahill threw McCarty to the floor, and the two struggled for McCarty's revolver. McCarty shot and mortally wounded Cahill. A witness said, "Billy had no choice. He had to use his equalizer." Cahill died the following day. McCarty fled, but returned a few days later and was apprehended by Miles Wood, the local justice of the peace. McCarty was detained and held within the Camp Grant guardhouse, but escaped before law enforcement could arrive. McCarty then stole a horse and fled Arizona Territory from New Mexico Territory, but Apaches took the horse from him, leaving him to walk many miles to the nearest settlement. At Fort Stanton in the Pecos Valley, McCarty, starving and near death, went to the home of a friend and Seven River Warriors gang member, John Jones, whose mother Barbara nursed McCarty back to health. After regaining his health, McCarty went to Apache Tejo, a former army post, where he joined a band of rustlers who raided herds owned by cattle magnate John Chisholm in Lincoln County. After McCarty was spotted in Silver City, his involvement with the gang was mentioned in a local newspaper. At some point in 1877, McCarty began to refer to himself as William H. Bonney. Lincoln County War. After returning to New Mexico, Bonney worked for English businessman and rancher John Henry Tunstall, 1853-1878. As a cowboy, he worked for him near the Rio Felix, a tributary of the Rio Grande in Lincoln County. Tunstall and his business partner and lawyer Alexander McSween were opponents of an alliance formed by Irish-American businessmen Lawrence Murphy, John Dolan, and John Riley. The three men had wielded an economic and political hold over Lincoln County since the early 1870s, due in part to their ownership of a beef contract with nearby Fort Stanton and a well-patronized dry goods store in Lincoln. In February 1878, McSween owed $8,000 to Dolan, who had tamed a court order and asked Lincoln County Sheriff William Brady to attach nearly $40,000 worth of Tunstall's property and livestock. Tunstall put Bonney in charge of 9 prime horses and told him to relocate them to his ranch for safekeeping. Meanwhile, Sheriff Brady assembled a large posse to siege Tunstall's cattle. On February 18, 1878, Tunstall learned of the posse's presence on his land and rode out to intervene. During the encounter, one member of the posse shot Tunstall in the chest, knocking him off his horse. Another posse member took Tunstall's gun and killed him with a shot to the back of the head. Tunstall's murder ignited the conflict between the two factions that became known as the Lincoln County War. After Tunstall was killed, Bonney and Dick Brewer swore affidavits against Brady and those in his posse and obtained murder warrants from Lincoln County Justice of the Peace John Wilson. On February 20, 1878, while attempting to arrest Brady, the sheriff and his deputies found and arrested Bonney and two other men riding with him. Deputy U.S. Marshal Robert Wideman, a friend of Bonney, and a detachment of soldiers captured Sheriff Brady's jail guards, put them behind bars, and released Bonney and Brewer. Bonney then joined the Lincoln County Regulators. On March 9, they captured Frank Baker and William Morton, both of whom were accused of killing Tunstall. Baker and Morton were killed while trying to escape. On April 1, the Regulators ambushed Sheriff Brady and his deputies. Bonney was wounded in the thigh during the battle. Sheriff Brady and Deputy Sheriff George Hinman were killed. On the morning of April 4, 1878, Buckshot Roberts and Dick Brewer were killed during a shootout at Blazer's Mill. Warrants were issued for several participants on both sides, and Bonney and two others were charged with killing the three men. Battle of Lincoln, 1878. On the night of Sunday, July 14th, McSweeney and the Regulators, now a group of 50 or 60 men, went to Lincoln and stationed themselves in the town among several buildings. At the McSweeney residence were Bonney, Franco Chavez, Jim French, Harvey Morris, Tom O'Farliade, and Salazar, among others. Another group led by Marion Chavez and Doc Spurlock positioned themselves on the roof of a saloon. Henry Newton Brown, Dick Smith, and George Coe defended a nearby adobe bunkhouse. On Tuesday, July 16th, a newly appointed Sheriff George Pepin sent sharpshooters to kill the McSween defenders at the saloon. Pepin's men retreated when one of the snipers, Charles Crawford, was killed by Fernando Herrera. Pepin then sent the request for assistance to Colonel Nathan Dudley, commandant of nearby Fort Stanton. In a reply to Pepin, Dudley refused to intervene but later arrived in Lincoln with troops, turning the battle in favor of the Murphy-Dolan faction. A shooting war broke out on Friday, July 19th. McSweeney's supporters gathered inside his house when Buck Powell and Deputy Sheriff Jack Long set fire to the building. The occupants began shooting. Bonnie and other men fled the building while all rooms but one was burning. During the confusion, Alexander McSweeney was shot and killed by Robert Beckwith, who was then shot and killed by Bonnie. Bonnie and three other survivors of the Battle of Lincoln were near the Mescalero Indian Agency when the agency bookkeeper, Morris Bernstein, was murdered on August 5, 1878. All four were indicted for the murder, despite conflicting evidence that Bernstein had been killed by Constable Martinez. All of these indictments, except Bonnie's, were later quashed. On October 5, 1878, U.S. Marshal John Sherman informed newly appointed territorial governor and former Army General Lew Wallace that he held warrants for several men, including William H. Antrim, alias Kid, alias Bonnie, but was unable to execute them owing to the disturbed condition of affairs in that county resulting from the acts of a desperate class of men. Wallace issued an amnesty proclamation on November 13, 1878, which pardoned anyone involved in the Lincoln County War since Tunstall's murder. It specifically excluded persons who had been convicted of or indicted for a crime, and therefore excluded Bonnie. On February 18, 1879, Bonnie and friend Tom O'Faliard were in Lincoln and watched as attorney Huston Chapman was shot and his corpse set on fire. According to witnesses, the pair were innocent bystanders forced at gunpoint by Jesse Evans to witness that murder. Bonnie wrote to Governor Wallace on March 13, 1879, with an offer to provide information on the Chapman murder in exchange for amnesty. On March 15, Governor Wallace replied, agreeing to a secret meeting to discuss the situation. Bonnie met with Wallace and Lincoln on March 17, 1879, and during the meeting and in subsequent correspondence, Wallace promised Bonnie protection from his enemies and clemency if he would offer his testimony to a grand jury. On March 20th, Wallace wrote to Bonnie, "To avoid all suspicion of understanding, I think it better to put the arresting party in charge of Sheriff Kimbrell, who shall be instructed to see that no violence is used." Bonnie responded on the same day, agreeing to testify and confirming Wallace's proposal for his arrest and detention in a local jail to assure his safety. On March 21st, Bonnie let himself be captured by a posse led by Sheriff George Kimbrell of Lincoln County. As agreed, Bonnie provided a statement about Chapman's murder and testified in court. However, after Bonnie's testimony, the local district attorney refused to set him free. Still in custody several weeks later, Bonnie began to suspect Wallace had used subterfuge and would never grant him amnesty. Bonnie escaped from the Lincoln County Jail on June 17, 1879. Bonnie avoided further violence until January 10, 1880, when he shot and killed Joe Grant, a newcomer to the area, at Harver's Saloon in Fort Sumner, New Mexico. The Santa Fe Weekly New Mexican reported, "Billy Bonnie, more extensively known as the Kid, shot and killed Joe Grant. The origin of the difficulty was not learned." According to other contemporary sources, Bonnie had been warned Grant intended to kill him. He walked up to Grant, told him he admired his revolver, and asked to examine it. Grant handed it over. Before returning the pistol, which Bonnie noticed contained only three cartridges, He positioned the cylinder so that the next hammer fall would land on an empty chamber. Grant suddenly pointed his pistol at Bonnie's face and pulled the trigger. When it failed to fire, Bonnie drew his own weapon and shot Grant in the head. A reporter for the Las Vegas Optic quoted Bonnie as saying the encounter was a game of two and I got there first. In 1880, Bonnie formed a friendship with a rancher named Jim Greathouse, who later introduced him to Dave Radabaugh. On November 29, 1880, Bonnie, Radabaugh, and Billy Wilson ran from a posse led by Sheriff Deputy James Carlisle. Cornered at Greathouse's ranch, Bonnie told the posse that they were holding Greathouse as a hostage. Carlisle offered to exchange places with Greathouse, and Bonnie accepted that offer. Carlisle later attempted to escape by jumping through a window, but he was shot three times and killed. The shootout ended in a standoff. The posse withdrew, and Bonnie, Radabaugh, and Wilson rode away. A few weeks after the Greathouse incident, Bonnie, Radabaugh, Wilson, Charlie Beaudry, Tom Pickett, and O'Farliud rode into Fort Sumner. Unknown to Bonnie and his companions, a posse led by Pat Garrett was waiting for them. The posse opened fire, killing O'Farliud. The rest of the outlaws escaped unharmed. On December 13, 1880, Governor Wallace posted a $500 bounty for Bonnie's capture. Pat Garrett continued his search for Bonnie. On December 23rd, following the siege in which Beaudry was killed, Garrett and his posse captured Bonnie along with Pickett, Radabaugh, and Wilson at Stinking Springs. The prisoners, including Bonnie, were shackled and taken to Fort Sumner, then later to Las Vegas, New Mexico. When they arrived on December 26, they were met by crowds of curious onlookers. The following day, an armed mob gathered at the train depot before the prisoners who were already on board the train with Garrett before that train departed for Santa Fe. Deputy Sheriff Romero, backed by the angry mob of men, demanded custody of Dave Radabaugh, who had killed a local jailer. Garrett refused to surrender the prisoner, and a tense confrontation ensued until he agreed to let the sheriff and two other men accompany the party to Santa Fe, where they would petition the governor to release Radabaugh to them. In a later interview with a reporter, Bonnie said that he was unafraid during the incident, saying, "If only I had my Winchester, I'd lick the whole crowd." The Las Vegas Gazette ran a story from a jailhouse interview following Bonnie's capture. When the reporter said Bonnie appeared relaxed, he replied, "What's the use of looking on the gloomy side of everything? The laugh's on me this time." During his short career as an outlaw, Bonnie was the subject of numerous U.S. newspaper articles, some as far away as New York. After arriving in Santa Fe, Bonnie, seeking clemency, sent Governor Wallace four letters over the next 3 months. Wallace refused to intervene, and Bonnie went to trial on April 1881 in Mesilla, Texas. Following 2 days of testimony, Bonnie was found guilty of Sheriff Brady's murder. It was the only conviction secured against any of the combatants in the Lincoln County War. On April 13th, Judge Warren Bristol sentenced Bonnie to hang, with his execution scheduled for May 13, 1881. According to legend, upon sentencing, the judge told Bonnie he was going to hang until he was dead, dead, dead. Bonnie's response was, "You can go to hell, hell, hell." According to the historical record, he did not speak after the reading of his sentence. Following his sentencing, Bonnie was moved to Lincoln, where he was held under guard on the top floor of the town courthouse. On the evening of April 28, 1881, while Garrett was in White Oaks collecting taxes, Deputy Bob Olinger took five other prisoners across the street for a meal, leaving James Bell, another deputy, alone with Bonnie at the jail. Bonnie asked to be taken outside to use the outhouse behind the courthouse. On the return to the jail, Bonnie, who was walking ahead of Bell up the steps to his cell, hid around a blind corner, slipped out of his handcuffs, and beat Hell with the loose end of the cuffs. During the ensuing scuffle, Bonnie grabbed Bell's revolver and fatally shot him in the back as Bell tried to get away. Bonnie, with his legs still shackled, broke into Garrett's office and took a loaded shotgun left behind by Olinger. Bonnie waited at the upstairs window for Olinger to respond to the gunshot that killed Bell and called out to him, "Look up, old boy, and see what you get." When Olinger looked up, Bonnie shot and killed him. After about an hour, Bonnie freed himself from the leg irons with an axe. He obtained a horse and rode out of town. According to some stories, he was singing as he left Lincoln. While Bonnie was on the run, Governor Wallace placed a new $500 bounty on the fugitive's head. Almost 3 months after his escape, Garrett, responding to rumors Bonnie was in the vicinity of Fort Sumner, left Lincoln with two deputies on July 14, 1881, to question resident Pete Maxwell, a friend of Bonnie's. Maxwell, son of land baron Lucian Maxwell, spoke with Garrett the same day for several hours. Around midnight, the pair sat in Maxwell's darkened bedroom while Bonnie unexpectedly entered. Accounts vary as to the course of events. Bonnie failed to recognize Garrett due to the poor lighting. Drawing his revolver and backing away, Bonnie asked Quinn, Spanish for, "Who is it? Who is it?" Recognizing Bonnie's voice, Garrett drew his revolver and fired twice. The first bullet struck Bonnie in the chest, just above his heart, killing him. A few hours after the shooting, the local justice of the peace assembled a coroner's jury of six people. The jury members interviewed Maxwell and Garrett, and Bonnie's body and the location of the shooting were examined. The jury certified the body as Bonnie's, and according to a local newspaper, the jury foreman said, "It was the kid's body that we examined." Bonnie was given a wake by candlelight. He was buried the next day, and his grave was denoted with a wooden marker. 5 days after Bonnie's killing, Barrett traveled to Santa Fe, New Mexico, to collect the $500 reward offered by Governor Lew Wallace for his capture, dead or alive. William Rich, the acting New Mexico governor, refused to pay the reward. Over the next few weeks, the residents of Las Vegas, Mesilla, Santa Fe, White Oaks, and other New Mexico cities raised over $7,000 bounty reward money for Garrett. A year and 4 days after Bonnie's death, the New Mexico territorial legislature passed a special act to grant Garrett the $500 bounty reward promised by Governor Wallace. Because people had begun to claim Garrett unfairly ambushed Barrett, Garrett felt the need to tell his story and called upon his friend, journalist Marshall Upson, to ghostwrite a book for him. The book, The Authentic Life of Billy the Kid, was first published in April 1882. Although only a few copies sold following its release, it eventually became a reference for later historians who wrote about Bonnie's life. Rumors of survival. Over time, legends claiming that Bonnie was not killed and that Garrett staged the incident and death out of friendship so Bonnie could evade the law, those legends form and grew. During the next 50 years, a number of men claimed that they were Billy the Kid. Most of these claims were easily disproven, but two have remained topics of discussion and debate. In 1948, a Central Texas man, Ollie Roberts, also known as Brushy Bill Roberts, began claiming that he was Billy the Kid and went before New Mexico Governor Thomas Mabry seeking a pardon. Mabry dismissed Roberts' claims, and Robert died shortly thereafter. Nevertheless, Hico, Texas, Roberts' town of residence, capitalized on his claim by opening a Billy the Kid museum. John Miller, an Arizona man, also claimed that he was Bonnie. This was unsupported by the family until 1938, some time after his death. Miller's body was buried in the state-owned Arizona Pioneers Home Cemetery in Prescott, Arizona. In May 2005, Miller's teeth and bones were exhumed and examined without permission from the state. DNA samples from the remains were sent to a laboratory in Dallas and tested to compare Miller's DNA with blood samples obtained from the floorboards in the old Lincoln County Courthouse and a bench where Bonnie's body allegedly was placed after he was shot. According to a July 2015 article in the Washington Post, the lab results were useless. In 2004, researchers sought to exhume the remains of Catherine Antrim, Bonnie's mother, whose DNA would be tested and compared with that of the body buried in William Bonnie's grave. As of 2012, her body had not been exhumed. And that's all the information that we have about one of the outlaws of the Old West, and Billy the Kid, who... November 23rd, 1859, July 14th, 1881. And we have just a little bit of time left. And we're going to do some historical trivia that people are always asking about. Carolyn Keene was the author's pseudonym used on stories about what teenage detective? Who knows the answer to that? Carolyn Keene was the author pseudonym used on stories about what teenage detective? Think about that. Talk about that. I'll give you the answer in a minute. The teenage detective was Nancy Drew. That's right, Nancy Drew. One more. Rip Van Winkle sleeps for 20 years in the story by what American author? Rip Van Winkle sleeps for 20 years in the story by what American author? That was the author who's got that answer. That would have been Washington Irving. Washington Irving, yes. Okay. But I think that does take us to the end of our time today. And we appreciate you listening. And until next time, this is Bill Vondahar with Moments in History.